Love Will Find a Way. So that's a song by Pablo Cruz. And I remember I was music director at WSHE in Miami all those years ago. That album was hot. And that other, we played that on Album Rock Radio, okay? I don't think, music has changed so much. What Album Rock represents, or Album Oriented Radio, I think is what it stood for. Back then we had what was called Mellow Rock, that kind of shit. I remember KNX-FM out here in Los Angeles called themselves the Mellow Sound, Mellow Rock. They literally celebrated that. And it was, you know, it was okay, I guess, you know, because James Taylor, the singer-songwriters were happening, and they were sort of mellow. And then came bands like Pablo Cruz, which wasn't a half-bad little band. Ambrosia, there's another one. Real mellow, Ambrosia bordered on, not psychedelia, but they did border on some sort of, I don't know, man, like it was kind of acid, you know. That first song they had, the first hit they had was Holding On to Yesterday. If you listen to that song, that's like, that's an acid trip. but what am I trying to say? Oh, it's just that I heard that song for the first time. I don't hear it played at all anymore, right? Another group was Player with a song called Baby Come Back. That song would not be considered a rock song now, I don't think. But again, it was a different era. But that was also the same era we had Southern Rock. We had Lynyrd Skynyrd. We had the Allman Brothers, who were in their prime. We had Marshall Tucker Band, which was a little sort of kind of countrified a bit. Charlie Daniels, which was country music as far as I was concerned. Southern Rock, the best Southern Rock, in my opinion, was the Allman Brothers. And that last Lynyrd Skynyrd album, Street Survivors, that album kicked fucking ass. And in fact, it was just tragic as hell for a lot of different reasons that those poor men lost their lives in that plane crash. But one of them was that they just done their greatest work. They just done their greatest work ever. And we're going to embark on probably what would have been just a barn burning fucking tour. And tragedy strikes, you know. There was another band out. What the hell was that band? Those cats, they used to be in Allman Brothers. God damn it. Can't remember them. There was a concert hall in Orlando called the Great Southern Music Hall. Any of you guys, listeners in Orlando, you remember the Great Southern Music Hall? It was on Orange, right? I saw this band. What the fuck's the name of the band? They had the keyboard player. Chuck Lavelle was in this group. I'm going to find out the name of this group because it's driving me nuts. And Lavelle had played with the Allman Brothers. Let me see, Chuck Lavelle. What was the group he was in? And he had some damn good musicians with him. Goddamn, Chuck, you and I are the same age? Son of a bitch. American musician, Allman Brothers, Sea Level, that was the band. Good band. I love that group. Who else was in that group? Yeah, they had Jimmy Niles. They had Lamar Williams, Chuck Level. Who was the dude that played the other keyboard player? That they had two keyboard players. Joe English, Randall Bramlett. Sea Level took on a life of its own as tensions grew between Greg Allman and the other members, resulting in the loss of two of Allman Brother Band founding members. After the Allman Band broke up, when Greg Allman and Dickie Betts left, the remaining members who evolved into Sea Level were We Three, comprising bassist Lamar Williams, drummer J-Mo, and piano player Chuck Lavelle. They occasionally opened shows for the group in 75 and 76. The trio added guitarist Jimmy Niles. Yeah, you know, I saw those guys at the Great Southern Music Hall. I saw a fucking weather report at Great Southern Music Hall. God damn, what a show. What a show. It was great. Can't remember all the gigs that I went to there. I probably hadn't seen more than half a dozen bands there, but it was a great venue. It was a great venue, and it followed the opening of one in Gainesville, if I'm not mistaken. I probably got this all fucked up, but I thought that Gainesville had the first Great Southern Music Hall up at the, you know, University of Florida country, and then they opened up another one in Orlando. All right. What are we doing on the show? I found a show that just made me laugh, and rarely do I lay there, and generally I'm laying in bed when I'm listening to my show, but rarely do I laugh, like, you know, uproariously laugh, but this one was from last summer, and I don't dare repeat one from last summer, do I? Nah, it was funnier than fuck. It was Jay Santos, and the carnival thing. Why not? Fuck it, why not? July 17, I think it was. God damn, it was funny. I thought it was anyway. Maybe I'm, you know, tripping. Maybe I'm tripping, but I don't know, you know. Let's see. I think you guys will like it. July 17, Jay Sanders says something. He's back with more on parking lot carnivals. And this is when where Ted Bell got into trouble for something. Ted Bell gets drunk and inappropriate. Hey, man, I logged in already, bitch. I logged in already. I logged in and the motherfucker kicked me back out. Were you dirty? Okay. So how was your, we went to the, oh, I got to tell you about this. And I'll probably talk about it on the air. But I went to the Rick and Morty Christmas party Saturday night at the Bonaventure Hotel at downtown Los Angeles. It's a great hotel. I've always loved the Bonaventure because there's lots to do there. And it's got lots of rooms, and it's like thousands of miles in the sky. It's not that huge. I was on the 24th floor. Great view from the 24th floor. And then down on the fourth floor is a brewery. And I remember going to this brewery. I hung out there. When was it? Maybe 3-4 years ago. Before Jackie and I got together, I was dating a young lady who was kind of managing a lot of the new apartment buildings in downtown. They have renovated a lot of them. So we used to hang at the Bonaventure, then we go across to the rooftop bar there, across the street. What the fuck is the name of that place? The Rooftop, I think. There was another great sushi bar, too. Downtown is gradually, finally, getting rid of the Skid Row feel that it always had because of the Depression, all kinds of homeless cats coming in there, starting with the Depression. On the rail cars, because the east, you know, just east of downtown Los Angeles was the rail yards. So you got a big Skid Row going there. And it was there for years and years and years and years. And I think it's now starting to. But among some of the more colorful aspects of Skid Row, and I shouldn't say Skid Row so much as a lot of the homeless guys that live down there, was that as young people, myself, Rich Driscoll, Rich did this. He'd go down to Pershing Square to hone his chess skills because you could find cats down there that would play you in chess for $5, $10, that kind of thing, right? He'd regularly get his ass kicked, get his fucking ass handed to him by these kind of homeless dudes that live down in Pershing Square, but found a good way to, you know, make some side money, and that was hustling these dudes that came down there because they'd heard that these cats down in Pershing Square could play chess. They heard that those guys were great and you could really get good playing them. So Rich goes down there, gets his fucking ass handed to him. He told me about this later. So I think I made a mental note that I wanted to go down there, and I think we did, but I think it was the wrong day. There was nobody around to play chess with. All right, here we go, man. So I want to do July 17. Here it is. Won't you get past the pain? Groovy. Okay. So I went to Rick and Morty on Saturday night, and I didn't know a soul, man. I mean, I was on the show the first 3 seasons as Principal Vagina. And after that, I think I did maybe 2 additional sessions as Principal Vagina. I was another character named Scary Glenn. And I can't remember. There was like 2 other characters that I did, but I haven't been back in like about two years. Maybe last year, they brought me in for a quick Principal Vagina part. And you know, Justin's not with the show anymore, which he was the only cat that I knew. Well, no, I mean, I knew a lot of the producers. I don't know any of the producers now. As I was coming in, there was a very affable guy and his girlfriend, and they were looking for, we were on the fourth floor, they were looking. I said, are you guys looking for Rick and Morty? They go, yeah. I go, well, I am too. And they go, great, you know, and we got to talk, and he was the guy, I got to find his name now. He's the guy that does the voice of Rick. He's the new voice of Rick. Did he say that or Morty? Or is it the same fucking guy? Let me see. It's got to be the same guy. I think Justin did all of those voices. nice guy out there with his girlfriend or wife. I did not determine. let me see. Rick and Morty. TV series, 2013. Okay. Justin played Rick Sanchez. Spencer Graham. Maurice LaMarche. Bird Person. Nolan with additional voices. Phil Henry, Principal Vagina, and who else? Who else did I play in this fucking show? I won't look it up now. But anyway, the cat that does it now, I was walking in with him. It's not Dan Harmon. I know Dan Harmon. This is a younger guy, thin guy. Who the fuck is this cat? Ryan Ridley? Nah. Anyway, I don't recognize him. I'm looking at the cast list right now. Oh, here he is. Yeah, he plays Morty, Harry Belden. And I saw Harry coming in, nice guy, with his girlfriend, and good man. And we got to talking about, you know, life on the Rick and Morty thing. All right. That's it, baby.
Let's do it.